challenge you to give your best back to Him. We all year are able to be able to benefit from all of that God provides for us. And so this is one way for us to give back to what He's doing in the church. Maybe you're a consistent giver here at Silver Creek. Maybe that's something that you already do, or maybe you've never actually been a part of giving to what we do here at Silver Creek. But this, regardless of where you are and if you've had a part in that in the past, this is open to everyone. And as we go through the year and as we see projects being accomplished and as we look at what God's able to do with those dollars, we want you to be a part of it. So whether that's just a $50 gift or a $10 gift, or maybe it's a couple $1,000 gift, we challenge you to be thinking as a family as to what that might be. And we're excited to see how God provides this particular offering.
Yep. It's cool to see all that God is doing and what He can do through these things. So we just encourage you to take these home, be praying about it. We run this through the end of January, so you can take these packets. It's something that you can give one time, you can give throughout the month, however works best for you. But we just challenge you to begin to consider that. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll start breaking down what these different causes are more. And there's a really cool little decal in here, by the way, if you haven't found it. So dig in there. We actually have a little treat for you. So take a minute and you can dig through that. But thanks so much for paying attention. All right. Well, let's pray and then we'll dive into the message. God, thank you so much for this morning. God, thank you for the opportunity that you give us to be a part of what it is that you're doing. God, you've given us so much and you've blessed us in so many ways. God, oftentimes it's difficult to know how to say thanks. And one of the ways that we get to say thanks is being a part of supporting what you want to do through our finances. So God, I just pray that you would challenge us to be a part of that, be open to what it is that you want to say to us. God, as we think about impact and as we even think about this idea of the upside and looking at being people that are generous, God, would you speak to us this morning? Would you help us to hear from you? In Jesus' name, amen. So real quick, if you're here this morning, maybe you're joining us for the first time or you don't come very often or whatever it would be, and you're like, well, you just talked about money and now you're going to talk about money again. Yep, you came on that day that we're going to do that. So congratulations, you've won the lottery, I guess. When we as a church first started considering the idea of establishing a sister church with a church down in San Bartolo, El Salvador, there were four of us that went on a little fact-finding trip, and we flew down to El Salvador, and we wanted to begin to see what the church down there was doing. We wanted to be able to meet the people within the church. We wanted to get to know Pastor Oscar and his family. He's got a wife, Rosalba, and then a son, David and Andreas. So we wanted to go down there and get to know all of them, begin to see what it was that they were doing, begin to see what it is that they're attempting to accomplish, and begin to see how it is that we could plug in and be a part of that. Well, as we were there, the four of us that were down there, we quickly began to discover that Pastor Oscar is one of those types of individuals that continually sees the positive in all of the situations and all of the things that are around him. Because in the country of El Salvador and in San Bartolo, it is a culture that is very rough. It's a very difficult place. There is danger all around them. The gang activity down there is rampant. There's all kinds of problems. They have very limited resources. The average person makes about $250 a month. So they have just not a whole lot. People have very difficult lives. And yet, as you talk with Oscar and as you watch him do ministry, Oscar is continually looking at the upside. He's continually seeing what it is that Jesus could do and what the difference that Jesus could make in people's lives if they would begin to be open to that. And Oscar dreams about these amazing things, about creating ways and avenues to help kids avoid being pulled into the gangs. He thinks about ways that they can take what they've got and utilize them to the best of their abilities. He recognizes they have very limited resources. He recognizes they don't have a lot of dollars, and yet he never stops believing that God is going to provide for all of the things that they need. We talk about it, and Oscar's like, oh yeah, God will provide. I'm like, Oscar, we don't have to. Oh, God will provide. And then amazingly, God continues to provide for all of their needs. One of the last days that we're driving around the city, we're in Oscar's little truck and moving through the capital city. And as we're moving, as you go to every stoplight, essentially, there's people at each light, and they're looking for help. You know, they have no money, and so they're trying to gain money, and hopefully people will hand them stuff. And so you'll come to a traffic light, and there'll be some small children, and they'll sell, like, small candy, or they'll be selling gum, and they're looking for a quarter or whatever. You go to another light, and there's ladies selling flowers. You get to another light, and there's men that they want to wash your windshield. They're out there juggling sticks or whatever. I mean, they're trying to entertain you. All of them are essentially saying, listen, we need your help. And Oscar has such a tender heart for people that he sees in need. And Oscar is so convinced that if he gives some individuals some help, if they can just get a little bit of resources, then their life could be better. He sees the upside and the potential of that. He begins to see there's a situation for this individual. It can be improved. And so as a result, Oscar tends to give these individuals dollars. He gives them money. So much so that his wife, Rosalba, now is in charge of the money. She no longer allows Oscar just to roll around with dollars in his pocket because he just tends to give it away. He sees the potential of what could happen. And so every week Rosalba gives, or every couple of weeks, she gives him a roll of quarters. And he just has that roll of quarters sitting on, you know, by his stick shift. And as he drives, he gets up to a corner. And he's like, oh, man, I got to do it. And you see him tearing into his quarters and just giving quarters out. And he sees this upside. And his heart is so drawn to the possibility that there's something better. He sees the possibility of an upside. And so he's compelled to give. He wants to make a difference. And he realizes that generosity will make that possible. Generosity will help make a difference. During November, we started our new series called The Upside. And during November, we decided we were going to look at the upside and talk about the difference that it can make when we decide to pursue the positive. And what we saw during November is that we're most effective at generating the upside, being able to see the positive, establishing that when we go through it with a heart of gratitude. When we're thankful and recognize all that we have, we begin to see the upside. And as we move into this Christmas season, I want to stay with the series of the upside, but begin to transition from gratitude to one of a heart of generosity. Christmas is all about generosity, right? The whole idea of God sending his son, of us exchanging gifts. Generosity requires in all of those that we see the upside. And we have to see the upside with generosity because ultimately generosity is taking something that we control. Generosity is taking something that we possess, that we have, and then giving it away in anticipation that something positive is going to come as a result of that investment. That through our generosity, something good is about to happen. So this morning to start, we're going to look at a fairly large portion of the Bible, a large piece of scripture. And then after we read it, we're going to start to break it down and begin to see how it applies to our lives and specifically how it can begin to develop the idea of generosity in our hearts. All the scriptures are on the screen. It's also in your message notes. If you like stories, sit back because we're going to read for just a little bit. It says this, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. Now, as we look at that portion of Scripture, as we begin to look at what it begins to develop or how we can begin to grow this idea of generosity, what we begin to see is that there's this transformation. There's this ability for us as people to begin to allow God to transform who we are, to begin to bring us to a point where we can see the upside of being generous. Now, there are people that have a greater tendency to be generous. Some of them just tend to be that way. There's other people that tend to struggle to be generous. And whether that's something that just happens for you naturally or something that you have to work at, generosity, I don't believe, is something that we are necessarily are or we aren't. I believe generosity is a choice. I believe for each of us, we have the opportunity to decide, you know what, I see the upside. I see the positive in taking and giving some of my resources away. And since generosity is a choice more than who we are, the first thing that we have to begin to see is what prevents us from making that decision. What prevents us from making that choice? So let's first identify the fear that comes in being generous. I'm pretty sure we all understand that the generosity, again, requires us taking a resource, taking something that's in our possession, something that we control, and then giving it away. Now, to be clear, this morning we're going to talk about money mostly. So if you're like, the church always talks about money, this morning you're right. But generosity doesn't always just include monetary or money, right? You could be generous with your time. You could be generous with your home. You could be generous by loaning away your tools to your neighbor, which mine's not here this morning, and I still have your pliers. But we could be generous by giving somebody a ride. We can be generous with our talents. We can be generous with our knowledge. We can make that available. There's lots of ways that you and I can choose to be generous. However, money, the dollars that we have, are typically the area where we struggle most to be generous. It's the area where most of us have difficulty deciding, okay, I'm going to give it away. Because generally, when it comes to our dollars, it's an issue of control. It's an issue of security. Because we have those dollars, and when we choose to be generous with them and we give them away, we're putting that control and that security at risk. And when we begin to consider this idea of fear, when it comes to being generous, we need to look back at the story of this farmer. As an adult, my family and I, we have never planted a garden. We haven't actually even attempted to plant a garden, mostly because we kill everything that we try and grow. We actually had somebody at one point, it was my father-in-law, he thought, you guys need to grow some strawberries. So he took these big barrels and he put strawberries in them. They were already growing. They were already blooming. All we had to do was water them and we killed them. So we've never actually done a garden as a family. But growing up, there were times as a family that my parents were like, we're going to have a garden. And so it became this big process. And my dad would get out the rototiller and he would, you know, rumble around in the section and tear up all the dirt. And then my brothers and I, we would have to go through and we'd have to pick out all the rocks and get the ground all ready. And then we'd all get, you know, we'd get the rakes and the hose out and we'd begin to organize the garden and we'd create all the rows and we'd get it looking good. And then you reach the point of commitment where fear could get the best of us, especially if you're a farmer of sorts. Yeah, you've got these resources. You've got in your hand the seeds, right? You've got them. And now you've got the seeds. You've got the beans or you've got the peas or the corn. And if you want to grow squash, I guess. But right, you can grow these different things. And so you've got the resources in your hand. And at some point you have to decide you're going to take those seeds and hand them over. Right, you have to release control of those seeds and begin to actually place them in the soil. And so we had to make a decision. Do we want just a few beans? Do we just want a little bit of peas? Do we just maybe one or two stalks of corn? And if we just want a few, then we're just going to put a few little seeds into the ground and just that'll be it. But if we decided we wanted a nice full garden, then we had to be generous with the amount of seeds that we would put into the ground. We had to use more of the seeds if we had to plant more of the seeds in the soil if we desired to have lots of beans. If we wanted to have a lot of pea pods or a big row of corn stalks, right? Like, we would have to invest more of that. And the fear in putting more in, the more we take that and put it out of our control, now we fear, well, what if it doesn't produce? What if the seeds die in the ground? What if some animal comes along and digs it up and eats the seed? Or what if it starts to sprout and then some cat runs through and tramples it? Or who knows? I don't know why I picked a cat. That was totally... That wasn't even part of it. It just... Cat! Goodness gracious. Whew. But when it comes to being generous with our money, there's a very similar fear. Right, because we're going to take our money and now it's going to be out of our control. We're going to put it into something else. And now we have to trust that something good is going to come from it. And in the very same way, if we just put a small amount of seed in the ground, it will just produce a small amount of produce or vegetables. And if we just take a small amount of our dollars and just be generous with it, it'll have a very small return. Or if we take a large amount of seed, right, and we put a large amount of seeds and we plant them all over in the garden, a huge crop will be produced. And in the same way, if we have a large heart of generosity and we are willing to release more of that, a greater return can come. And so the fear that comes over us is if we begin to give away, if we begin to release that money, it's gone, right? I mean, we hand that over. But notice what the verse begins to explain after it talks about the farmer. It begins to mention the idea that after the farmer gives, everything that he gave was essentially given to him from God to start with. And after he gives that seed, God's still going to make sure that he has all that he needs. And our fear in being generous is we no longer have that money, and yet God is promising us this: I'm going to make sure that you have all that you need. When you invest, when you're generous with this, I'll take care of everything else that you've got. And that fear, it's real. I'm not encouraging you to ignore that fear, to recognize that it's truly there. Don't pretend it doesn't exist. But in order for us to get beyond that fear, we need to begin to consider the motivation for being generous. Generosity ultimately is possible for any person. But for those of us that have decided to enter into a relationship with Jesus, generosity has to then become motivated out of what we've experienced within our hearts based on what God has given us. The fact that God has allowed us and given us the most amazing gift in His Son. That God was willing to send Jesus to earth for us. Because once we've begun and we've accepted that, we now realize we've accepted the most extravagant gift anyone has ever given. That's the most extravagant gift possible. Because when God offered his son Jesus, ultimately he was saying, listen, Jesus is going to die on the cross and now all of your sins can be forgiven. Every single one of them. That was the generous gift of God. All of your sins. And for some of us, me? That's a lot of sin. Right? Think about all that you've done. All the times that you've broken relationship with other people. All the times you've broken relationship with God. All of that is on our shoulders. And God comes and says, you know what? I'm going to send Jesus so that all of that sin can be eliminated. It can be hard to comprehend that God would be willing to do that. But when we begin to allow ourselves to replicate the example of generosity, when we begin to allow ourselves to understand what God has done and then imitate Him, it begins to give us a greater understanding of who God is. We begin to understand God's generosity even greater when we begin to be generous ourselves. God's gift is this amazing blessing. He's given us this incredible gift. And when we begin to restore that, or when we begin to offer that back, it begins to grow and begins to develop that relationship with Him. Because at the same time that God wanted to forgive us of our sins, it's always been God's desire that we would choose to be in relationship with Him. There was something in it for God. God wanted you to know Him. He wanted to be in relationship with you. So His motivation for sending Jesus, He was generous, saying, listen, it's for your benefit. I want to restore you. And ultimately, I want to give you the opportunity to be made right so that you can be in relationship with Me. So that ultimately we could enter into that relationship. And so as you and I begin to be generous, what we begin to recognize is we're not only choosing to be generous and making the other people around us or the people that receive those gifts, we're not just making things better for them. You and I begin to experience, and you and I begin to benefit from the things that we give away. One of the greatest benefits, one of the reasons that being generous does the most for us is because being generous is the way that you and I are most like God. In all of the things that we could do, the times that we give, we are most like God. Most famous verse, right? God so loved the world that He gave. Love isn't the verb. The gave is the verb. So we're most like God when we choose to give. And God gave out of His love. So ultimately, generosity then has to grow out of love. But because generosity isn't something that we naturally do, it's not something that we're naturally drawn to, sometimes we have to sort of kickstart our heart a little bit. And so if we begin to be generous before we're motivated out of love, then it begins to stir within us this desire, and this love begins to grow. And as we begin to give, our heart begins to go, oh yeah. This is what God does. And then our heart begins to be transformed, and we begin to understand even more and more who God is and the way His generosity is real. And as we begin to read and understand the scripture more, we begin to see that God was the one that gave the seed to the sower or to the farmer in the first place. And God is the one that wanted to take that seed and funnel it through the farmer to produce the crop that He wanted to see happen. And in the same way that God called you to Himself, God's desire is that for each person, Every person in our community, every person in our world would be drawn to him, would enter into relationship with him. And the way that God wants to do that is to funnel his blessings, to funnel his resources through us. And so he calls us to take a step of faith, to respond to him. And in the same way that God has been generous, he calls us to be generous, to bless others through the act of us giving back to him. Because again, we're most like God when we give. And maybe that's a big statement, and maybe some of you want to argue with me. There are other ways that we're more like God, but I would say that we're most like God when we give. And a part of that giving is that it begins to break down our sinful nature. When we begin to give, it begins to remove the selfishness. It begins to remove our need for control. When we give, it begins to remove some of our doubt, and we become more like God. We don't become God. We just become more like God as we give. And when we begin to make that choice to be generous, what we're ultimately deciding to do is to imitate God's demonstration of generosity. As we think back to this verse, remember, God provides the seed for the farmer. And then notice it also says it provides him the bread to eat. God is in both sides of it. He's in the part where the planting takes place, and then he's in the part where the harvest takes place, which means God ultimately gives you the money that you have, but he also gave you the ability to make that money. Right? Because you were like, I went to work and I worked hard to get all those dollars. Wait, I invested in my education. Wait, I'm the one that possesses the talents and the abilities to create the opportunities to make money. But what we have to recognize is at the base of all of that, God provided the job. At the base of that, God's the one that made it possible for you to get the education. The talents and the abilities and the gifts that you have, God gave those to you in order to make those dollars. So God gave you the seed that you then get the opportunity to plant, and the bread that comes is ultimately a result from God. And our response then is to imitate God. Again, as we consider these verses, it was God who gave the seed. It was God who allowed the seed to be produced. And so when we imitate God, we begin to give. And as we begin to give, God continues to increase the resources that we have. He begins to, or continues to produce a harvest of generosity within us. God begins to enrich us in such a way that we can continue to be generous in the different avenues of our lives. He begins to enrich us in every way so that we can always be generous. So our choice becomes to imitate God. And as you and I choose to imitate God through generosity, it stirs the heart of generosity within God. And as you and I are giving, God's like, oh, he's not stingy with what he's got, so let me give him some more. Oh, he's not holding back what I've blessed him with, let me give him some more. Oftentimes when I speak, I tell you about all the ways that I failed and the ways that I've messed up. I'm going to tell you something, and maybe this sounds like I'm bragging, but one area of life that I think I've got a pretty good hold on, a pretty good grasp on, is this idea of giving. And so I tell you this not because, oh, look at me, I gave, but because I've imitated God's generosity. God has responded with even greater generosity in our lives. For Julie and I, when we got married, we decided, you know what? We are going to consistently, every time, we're going to give at least 10% of what we make back to God, oftentimes more. It is by far the best financial decision we have ever made. Part of what makes it the best financial decision that we've ever made is we've made some really bad financial decisions along the way. And here's why I say this. Because, we've purchased some things we didn't need, and we financed some things that maybe we should have waited on, and we invested in some opportunities that probably stretched us too far. We've managed our dollars wise in other ways, and we've tried to be smart with it. We never just were trying to be foolish. Yet in all of our poor decisions, every time we stretched ourselves too far, every time that we had, we continue to give first. We continue to keep giving to God before everything else. And in response, God has continually provided for every need we have. We have always been able to pay for every bill that we've got. Our kids always have shoes. We always have food. Even the bills that weren't very smart, God has allowed and provided us the ability to handle them all. And when you and I decide to imitate God, he begins to pour back into our lives. Because ultimately, imitating God has more to do with than just writing a check or handing over money. Imitating God has more to do with just giving our time and our resources or our skills. Imitating God in the area of generosity allows God to begin to transform our hearts, to begin to transform how we live. So in the time remaining, I just want us to begin to look at, what does it look like to have generosity lived out? What does that look like in our lives when we have that happen, where generosity begins to pour out of our lives? Scott, next one, sorry. If you and I can allow God to begin to move generosity in our lives, it's not just money. But when we begin to think that generosity is just money, then we begin to hold on to it tighter. And certainly generosity is about money, but it's so much more. But it tends to be the area that's most difficult. And the reality is, we need to begin to see that there's this benefit to our heart and to our spirit when we're generous. These verses remind us that God is interested in us being cheerful givers, not pressured givers, not feeling guilty givers. Generosity is more than just money. In fact, if you have tons of money and you give large amounts of money, which you can do that, but if you have a negative attitude about it, if you're like, well, I'm just going to get God off my back. You know what? If I do this, I get a tax break. That's not generosity. The same is true if you don't have very much money and you're like, oh, the pastor said if I give money, God's going to take care. And you think you're going to trick God into making you rich? If you think it's your little way to kind of rub the genie bottle and poof. So I'm just going to give a few bucks and then I can demand that God pays up. That's not generosity. Generosity becomes a heart issue. Generosity becomes an attitude for how we approach things. Generosity becomes how we live it out. Generosity is a matter of deciding that when God makes something clear and God begins to give you an opportunity to give out of what you've been given, we respond. That's generosity. So when God begins to direct and say, hey, you know what? You need to be generous and invite that person over to dinner. Do it. If God begins to direct and say, listen, you need to be generous. You need to give your car to somebody. Do it. If God says, listen, you need to be generous and you need to give to impact. Do it. If God begins to direct and says, listen, as you pull off the freeway, there's the guy at the end of the thing. He's got the cardboard sign. He needs help. If God directs you to give, do it. At the same time, if God doesn't direct you to be generous in those moments, don't. You don't need to feel pressured in that moment. So if God doesn't direct you to invite somebody over to dinner or to give away your car or to give to impact or to give to the guy at the end of the freeway, please don't. Just be sure you're ready to respond in either situation. As much as you're ready to say, no, he didn't tell me to, be ready to say, he told me to. There's some ways throughout Scripture, though, that God clearly directs us to give. And if we're going to choose to be generous, then we need to begin to realize that generosity comes out of our heart. And the issue becomes how we respond to God when he directs us. And there's two ways where we can live generosity out that's clear from Scripture. And the first way that God has called us to give generously is to commit to a tithe based on what you receive. Now, first, let's figure out where the idea of tithe comes from. It wasn't a preacher that thought that up, just so you know. Because we know that our paycheck ultimately comes from that, so we had to set it way higher. So this is God, okay? So God, I'm just kidding. Okay, so God came up with this idea of the tithe. And ultimately, God came up with the idea of a tithe because it's a principle rather than just an action that he wants us to do. The word tithe comes from the Hebrew word of one-tenth, which basically means God was saying, hey, bring your first 10%. And I'm convinced that God wanted us to do this not because it's good for God, it's good for us. Because when you and I begin to give out of that 10%, it begins to work the selfishness and the greed out of our hearts. It begins to work in faith and trust into our hearts. Because ultimately what he's saying is, listen, bring your 10%, bring the first part and give it to me before anything else happens. And when God first started talking to people about this, they didn't have dollars. They had livestock. So he didn't say, hey, when you make $10, bring me one. He said, when your sheep has a lamb, bring me the first one. That's harder, I think. I'm glad we have money and not sheep. Right? Because ultimately what he was saying is, listen, when your sheep has a sheep, bring me the first one. You don't even have a guarantee of the next nine. He didn't say, wait till your sheep has 10 sheep and then look around and find the one that's getting in the garden and causing all the trouble and then give that one. No, he's like, bring me the first one, even before you have 9. And what that established is this principle that we see throughout Scripture of putting God first. Of letting God be the first in our finances. Because when you and I begin to put God first in our finances, we begin to put him first in other parts of our lives. Because so often we want our hearts. We're like, God, would you help my heart to chase after you? God, would you help me follow you? And what happens when we begin to give God our finances first, our heart begins to follow. And we begin to see God become first in other areas of life. And when we decide to begin to tithe, ultimately we're acknowledging, God, all of this money is yours, and out of an act of trust and out of an act of faith, here's 10%. God, will you bless the remaining 90% to be all that I need? And when he's talking about a tithe, it's specifically something that goes back to the local church that you attend to ultimately further the work that God wants to do through that church. That God wants to use to bless the community, to bring hope and transformation to the community in which you attend. And then begin to expand beyond just the community, but to the world around, to bring hope and transformation to each. So that brings us to the second part of generosity lived out. And that is that God allows us to be the gateway to distribute his blessing. There's this amazing idea that God has that he wants to accomplish in this community. We don't even know what all of those ideas are. But God wants to accomplish them through a church in this area. And he's provided resources that he makes available to accomplish those. And God is going to find people and he's going to find churches that are willing to allow themselves to be the gateway to bring his blessing to others. Got a tree lighting coming up next week. Something for our community. We're gonna kick off the Christmas season for anybody around, anybody that wants to come. We're going to bring the focus in on the fact that God sent Jesus to the earth. And I believe God thought, you know what? We need a tree lighting in Linwood. Let's find a church that's willing to be the gateway to distribute that blessing to our community. He does that in our individual lives as well. Last spring, when we were getting ready to go down to El Salvador, the pastor, Oscar, he called. He's like, listen, hey, we got a painting project. When you get down here, we're going to paint the building. And so we just need some dollars to help buy the paint. And we're like, we didn't set aside dollars for paint. We don't have money for paint. Almost at the exact same time that Oscar told us we needed to paint, a family in the church came and approached Elizabeth and I and said, hey, our work just gave us a bonus. And we want to give a portion of that to El Salvador. Essentially the exact same amount we needed for the project. And that family responded to God and became the gateway that God used to distribute his blessing. We recently had a winter retreat. And there were several individuals that came and said, listen, I want to offer scholarships to help kids that are having financial need be able to get on that retreat. There were individuals that responded to God and became the gateway to distribute his blessings. Oftentimes, God will come and challenge us to begin to give. He'll impress on our hearts the opportunity to be generous. And you and I have the opportunity to respond and be that gateway. And oftentimes, it's intimidating. Oftentimes, it's frightening. Sometimes, we look at our current finances and we're like, that's not going to work. How are we going to do this? So let me quickly give you the greatest secret for becoming generous. Generosity starts by getting started. So at Silver Creek, one of the things that we recognize is that can be a difficult thing to do, and there's lots of reasons to wait, put it off. And so we want to eliminate as much of that fear as possible. So what we've established is something we call our giving challenge. And I'm way out of time, so I'm going to run you through the giving challenge really quick. But essentially what we recognize is that it's a difficult thing. And so if you say, you know what, I'll take the giving challenge, and essentially the giving challenge runs for 3 months. And essentially, if you take the next step and give over the next 3 months, if at the end of the 3 months, God has not blessed you, if God has not provided for you, then you come and you talk to me or you talk to one of our board members, and we will give you every single dollar back. There is literally not a safer opportunity or time to start attempting to see what God will do. So here's how the giving challenge works. Essentially, if you've never given to the church before, we just challenge you to give for the first time. Don't even care how much. $3, $30, $300, $3,000, whatever. It doesn't matter. We don't care. For 3 months, give one time. Say, God, I'm going to give back to you one time. So maybe you've already given. Maybe one day I didn't make you mad, right? And so you threw some dollars in there. So then consider the next challenge. Maybe God is calling you to just begin giving consistently. Again, the amount doesn't matter. $3, $30, $300, it doesn't matter. Just pick an amount and pick some sort of consistency every time you get paid, every Sunday, whatever it is. Pick any amount, pick any consistency, just set it. You can look at your calendar, you can look at your finances, figure out what it is, and then follow it. And consistently give for 3 months. However you want, online, through an envelope, whatever, we don't care. No sheep, but you can do whatever you want, however you want to give. Maybe you've already begun to give consistently, and so maybe your next step is to give systematically. And by systematically, I'm just saying we begin to set a percentage, ultimately with the goal being 10%. And maybe you're not there right now. Maybe you're like, we can't do 10%. Just set a percentage. God, what would it be? Is it 5%? Knowing that ultimately the goal is to reach that point of 10%. And then once you establish that, continue to contribute that percentage over the three-month period. Allow God to begin to say, okay, well, how do I do this? And maybe you're like, well, how much do I give? Do I have to do it on gross or net? Don't care. Okay? Do we have to factor in health care? Don't care. Do we have to factor in bonuses? Don't care. Win the lottery? We do care. That one, if you win the lottery, you just give, okay? Here's what we care about. Just let Jesus guide you. And if he feels you like he wants you to tithe on net. If he's gross, what? It doesn't matter. It's not between you and me. It's not between you and the church. It's between you and Jesus. Just plan to say yes to whatever it is that he calls you to. That's what we care about. And then the last challenge is to give extravagantly. Begin to live in this way that there's just this tremendous freedom and excitement and joy in giving. Because this is where you get to begin to give to the things that you're passionate about. To ministry or a program or a person. Because up till this point, we're basically giving because God has called us to it. God has called us to give to the church. And this, when we begin to give extravagantly, this is where you're like, oh yeah, that motivates me. I want to see that happen. I want to give to that. And it becomes this unleashed, extravagant giving. And can I tell you that there's some people in this church that are doing that already? And when I talk to them about the way that they give and why they give, it is absolutely phenomenal. And some of them give huge amounts. Some of them, the dollar amount is not that big, but the heart response is huge in every case. So let me just challenge you to begin to consider that. On the back of your program, there's some next steps. I thought I had the wrong one. So what's your next step in considering the idea of being generous? Maybe your next step is just to be honest about your fear of being generous. Maybe your next step is to identify the ways God has been generous to you. Maybe your next step is to consider whom God might want to bless through you. And maybe your next step is to take the giving challenge wherever you're at. Take the giving challenge over the next 3 months. David, is the band coming? Are we going to do it?
You know what? Probably not.
All right. Preacher took too much time. My bad. Hey, would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for this morning. God, thank you for all that you've given us. God, out of our gratitude for all that you've done, would you help us become people that are generous? God, would you help us to see that this is more than just giving dollars, but it's ultimately you transforming our heart so that we can become more like you. God, help us to begin to trust and to believe that you'll be true to what you've said, that you've already provided and you will continue to provide for all that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.